you know, we're pretty lucky to have Colin. So I've known Colin for a couple of years. And like I said before, super smart guy, hey. Super smart guy. And sort of when you get the privilege to hang around people who talk at a different level, you just sort of sit there and you just absorb their knowledge, and you can actually, they're teaching you stuff and you don't even know it. So, it's pretty fantastic that he's here. So I'll give you a bit of Colin's bio. So he's an authority on increasing leadership performance. And he does that by imparting the latest neuroscience, productivity and communication strategies. Just to talk about some of the companies he's worked with. Hewlett-Packard, Suncorp, Fuji, Xerox, Allianz, LS Travel Retail. And there's a few other things in the pipeline that we were talking about last night as well. But a high achiever. And like I said, he works with some of the smartest people I know, hire Colin to work with them because he gets results. So we've got all morning with him this morning. So what I'd like you to do is stand up.
Yeah, just
give him a big round of applause and welcome Colin Boyd to the stage.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Steve. Cheers. Why don't you turn to the person next to you, look him in the eye, look him in the eye, come on, look him in the eye and say, you look good this morning. You look good this morning. Very good. Grab a seat, sit down and feel good for no good reason. Hey, really excited to have this conversation with you this morning around productivity. Has everyone got a workbook? Yeah, fantastic. So you should be able to find my section on productivity. Now, in terms of how the workbook's organized, you've got some little worksheets there. So we'll be working through most of those worksheets today. A couple of pages over, there's just some blank pages. So feel welcome to write down any ideas. There's a whole lot of research to say that if you write down stuff, you remember it. So write down stuff. I'm staying at the Novotel. I was chatting with Steve last night, and beautiful view, you know, over the beaches, away from the kids. Does anyone here have kids? Does anyone here have kids? And so who knows that when you have kids, like, what is sleep, right? It's kind of like sleep just goes out the window, especially when they're younger. And so I've got a two-year-old and a 16-week-old. And so little baby girl, Georgia, and then Jonah. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to get a really great night's sleep. I'm really excited. So, because that's like exciting, right? And so I went to sleep at about, it was probably like 9:45, 10 o'clock, right? And I thought, we're going to wake up fresh for the morning. About 11 p.m., the phone's ringing. And I thought, like, what on earth is that? And I woke up, and it was actually the hotel phone. And so I leaned over, it was pitch black. I pick up the phone, and someone on the end says, "Good evening, Mr. Boyd." And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, you know, something's happened to the kids. My wife's called the hotel and like something drastic's happened. "Good evening, Mr. Boyd." And I was like, "Good evening." And they said, "Just wanted to check in to see how the room was going." And I was how the room is going at 11 p.m. at night. And they said, "Just a courtesy call, just to make sure everything's fine in the room." I was like, "Yeah, everything's fine." So welcome to Wollongong. I had a really great night's sleep, other than that interruption. But it was really interesting. So today's conversation I'm excited to talk about is productivity. And even though I haven't had as much sleep as I wished, I think we're going to produce some good results today. How about that, hey? So productivity. This big idea that I want to talk about today. The reason why I love it is because it's an area that I think is fundamental to all results in your business, whether it be the systems that you're implementing, whether it be the CRM system, and ultimately the results that you're producing, the sales that you're producing. Everything as a foundation is how you manage your time. And so this conversation, I think, is really crucial. And I trust that today you're going to learn some new stuff. And maybe if you notice some things that you know before, you'll take some further distinctions on them. And you'll be able to take some nuances that you can bring into your business that will actually create some results. Would that be all right? So I was sitting at a bar in Padang. We'd just done a 10-day surf trip with a bunch of my mates. And one of my best mates, Rob, he's sitting across from me. He's got You know, he's got a shaved head, red hair. He's got tats all down his arms. You know, exactly like me. And he just full tough dude, but heart of gold. And we're just sitting there having some fruit smoothies. We're waiting for our flight to go from Bedang to Bali because we're on our way home. And I knew that I had a whole lot of business as soon as I landed. And if I missed my flight or if anything happened, you know, it was going to have a big impact. So we're sitting there, we're relaxed. We know we've got about 4 hours till our flight. And Ronnie, our taxi kind of tuk-tuk driver, comes running in and he says, "Hey guys, your flight's been cancelled." And I remember looking at Rob and thinking, oh my gosh, like what on earth are we going to do? And he said, "But I've got some inside knowledge. I'm talking to the airport guys and they said that they're going to charter a flight, an earlier flight, but it leaves, it actually takes off in 40 minutes. And I said, "Okay, so like how far is it to the airport?" And he said, it's about 40 minutes. And I'm thinking like Sydney, right? Like no one would ever hold a plane or anything like that. So Ronnie goes, "I reckon I can do it." So we all head out, we leave our fruit smoothies, we're running out to the car. We jump in the car, and this is literally the picture that like in the car that when we were driving. This is Ronnie. Honestly, I think he was on crack. Like no word of a lie. He's rubbing his gums. He's going at 100 miles an hour. He literally, you know, talk about not using your phone and driving. Two phones. He's on two phones. No word of a lie. Lucky you guys are back. I'm like spitting everywhere. He's on two phones talking. One phone he's got his other taxi tuk-tuk drivers. The other phone he's got the airport on kind of on standby. And so he's running in between. We are literally doing 140 kilometers an hour. Like I was looking at the speedo and I said to my mate, Darren, he was sitting in the front. I was in the back in the middle. I said to Darren, because he wasn't wearing his seatbelt. I said, "Darren, mate, you better put your seatbelt on because if we crash, like, you know, it's going to be trouble." And he turns around, he says, "Colin, mate, if we crash, whether I'm wearing a seatbelt or not, we're all dead." Right? Now, the moral of the story is we actually arrived and we made the flight. Like it was crazy, right? We actually got on the flight. But it actually made me think, that is so often how we live our lives. We're pulled every direction by clients, by customers. We're in a hurry all the time. We're overwhelmed. We've got tons on. And there's kind of, we're lacking clarity in terms of how we're running our business. Who's ever felt a little bit overwhelmed running a business, yeah? Who's ever felt like you're wearing multiple hats? Yeah, right? Who's ever felt like you kind of were working too much, you didn't have enough time for home? Who's ever felt like that? Who's ever felt like you brought work home? Yeah? Is there going to have a conversation with your partner where they say, "I feel like you're in work mode"? Yeah? So, first of all, the moral of the story of if you take anything from today is don't trust Ronnie. Right? Don't trust Ronnie. If you take anything from today, that would be a really good insight. But ultimately, I think I want to make a shift. I want to make a shift in your thinking, in your processes, in your activity, so that you don't live a life like that, right? So today is about reducing friction, that's sandpaper, and it's about increasing flow. Everyone say flow. Flow. Increasing flow. That's what today's about, right? Getting you above the water, giving you some traction, some momentum. This is the fam, my family. It's a bit hard to see, but that's my little son, Jonah. He's 2.5. My little baby, Georgia, and that's her there. So, it's pretty cool, pretty crazy at home at the moment, but good times. Now, I mean, my story in terms of productivity is that I wasn't always productive. And I remember for me, it all started with a yellow envelope. I was sitting at my desk working for a large corporation. I was working in learning and development, really enjoying what I was doing. I remember my manager walked up to me with this yellow envelope. She put it on my desk and she said, "Colin, we need to have a conversation." And she went on to say that basically the whole department had been made redundant. Who here's had that privilege before? Has anyone ever had that privilege, being made redundant? Yeah. And so I got made redundant, and I remember having a conversation with my wife saying, "What are we going to do?" And I decided to start my own business in consulting, and it's very much a practice at the start of it. It was a practice. And so I started my own kind of business, and from there, I've had some really amazing opportunities. But the one thing I realized was that if I wasn't effective with how I used my time, then I wasn't going to put money in the bank, let alone food on the table on Thursday. And so very quickly, I realized that I wasn't going to rely, which you guys don't, on the check that comes in every Thursday from the employer. I had to produce the results myself. And so today's conversation really is about, it's about you. It's about you driving your business and taking it to the next level, getting it above the plane and actually sitting above and really driving. So that's why I'm passionate about it, because I think it's made such a big difference in my life, and I wasn't always productive. So I'm naturally undisciplined and naturally unorganized. Is there anyone like that? Like, I'm probably a little bit more right brain than I am left brain. So the reason why today's going to be a little bit unique from stuff you've heard before is that most of the time you have left brain people telling you how to be left brain, but I'm right brain, and I'm going to share with you some practices that have worked with me and tons of my clients that are a little bit more creative and more innovative to help to work with different personality styles. And so you look at, you know, amazing book like Getting Things Done, right? Amazing book. The problem is he's a left brain guy teaching you how to be left brain. And so if you're not left brain, then you're going to struggle. You're going to start to do a little bit, but then struggle. And so hopefully today will fit right for you. There will be some things in today that you won't be able to use, because you might think, oh, you know what, that's really not for me. But there'll be some stuff, I hope, that you'll be able to take away and go, yeah, that's really for me. So this is the environment, right? The environment that we're in. First of all, it's competitive. Everyone say competitive. It's competitive, yeah, right? You're on the field, you're playing the game, and you're playing hard. And does anyone play soccer here? Oh, up the back there, Steve did play soccer. And, you know, it's pretty competitive, right? I've watched even some games that, you know, 35 and overs games or 40 and overs games, and they're super competitive. They're playing kind of above their belt most of the time, and they come out injured. And some of us in our business are coming out injured because we're not playing the game right. We're not fit enough to play the game. And I think CRM systems in general, and how you use your time is part of that process. So it's super competitive, right? I think your customers are demanding, right? They're sitting there saying, I want more. Who's noticed that your customers are expecting more and more these days? Absolutely, right? They want it to be easy to buy. They want it to be easy to use. They want to have an easy experience. No longer will a customer settle for a really great in-store experience and come home and have a bad home experience with your product. And so more and more today, people are expecting, I want to have a beautiful experience. I think about, I don't know whether you're a Mac user or not, but I know for me, using a Mac at home, it's a beautiful experience. It's all about the experience that you have. It's not about just going into the store and it working really well when I first buy it. It's about the whole experience and the process and the support that I get. And so more and more your customers are wanting that. So you've got to be efficient and effective with how you use your time. So your business, I think more and more, is demanding to do more with less, right? You're kind of squeezing the tube. And the great thing is that technology has been able to give you super leverage. And small businesses can punch way above their weight because of technology. And I know even for me, in my business, I actually use Entreport. It's a main system that I use. And it helps me punch way above my weight. I have customers say to me, you know what, Colin, I feel like you give me so many touch points. And it's like, okay, but I haven't touched them at all, right? And especially not in a weird way. So that's a different product. No, so... That punching above your weight thing is crucial for you in business. And I think there's pressure. Has anyone ever been stressed before? Like just a little bit, right? Is anyone stressed at the moment? No, not at the moment. The pressure is that we're working long hours, right? We're at home, we're in front of the computer, and we're playing with our kids, and we're on the phone, searching through our emails, checking emails, and we're just not present with our kids. The reason why I'm doing today's session, the reason why I love productivity, is so that I can spend time with my family. It's so that I can do the things that I truly love, and I love business, but I also love a whole lot of other things. And so for me, it's not about just always working, it's actually about working so that I don't have to work as much and to be able to do the things that I want, and even though I love working. So many of us are overwhelmed. We're just completely exhausted, right? Completely exhausted. I think there's this fear of like, is this even sustainable? I don't know if you've ever had moments. Have you had moments like that where you're thinking, I think it might be easy to just get a job, right? Have you ever had that conversation with yourself? Maybe you haven't. I know I have had that conversation with myself. Maybe it's just easier to get a job. And so it feels kind of unsustainable sometimes. And I think there's this fear of, am I wasting profits? Is stuff going down the drain? I can guarantee you there is wasted profits in your business, and there always will be. You know, there's always a next level. And the fact that you're in this room means that you're growing and developing, and that's all you need to do. So that's cool. Now, so I think this is the desire. I think this is the desire and the opportunity. The opportunity is this. The opportunity is that we can have some space. Everyone take a deep breath for me. Just because it feels good. And then just breathe out. Feels good, right? Side note, has anyone used the Headspace app? The Headspace app? Really cool app on mindfulness, meditation. It's a free app. They do a 10-day challenge. Really great little app for getting Headspace. I actually used it last night. So I didn't sleep well, so it didn't work, but good app. Great app. We just want to get space. And personally, I grew up on the beaches. So I grew up in the Shire. Please don't hold it against me. I left the Shire. You wouldn't believe it. I took my passport. I left the Shire, got it all stamped. And I actually live out in the Hills Shire now. But I miss the beach, definitely. So being down on the beach has just been amazing this morning. Went for a run and got my feet wet, which was nice. So we just want space, right? We want a bit of space. And I think we want to feel back in control. We want to feel like we're kind of in the driver's seat. Some of you feel like you're in the passenger seat of your business. Some of you feel like you're in the boot, right? You're in the boot and you're kind of like banging in there saying, let me out. Because your business has you hostage. And so I think if we can nail this stuff, it's going to make a big difference. We want to get traction, momentum, so ultimately we can have a thriving business. Our business can explode. I'm wondering for you right now, chat with the person next to you, why is this conversation crucial for you right now around how you're managing your time, your productivity, your priorities, and just how you're utilizing your own personal efficiencies and effectiveness. Why is this crucial for you right now? Chat with the person next to you. 30 seconds, go for it. Turn to the person next to you and say, what do you reckon? Bit of music? This is the stuff that I'm obsessed about, because I think if we can tweak these things, even just a little bit, it's going to make a huge difference in terms of your business. My goal for people is to get them above 80 whenever I'm working with them, so that they're functioning super focused, super charged, and they're enjoying what they're doing. And it's about actually having time off as well. It's not about just working harder. Cool. Okay. So let me show you the big model. These are the five kind of big areas that I like to focus on that I think you need to master in terms of your productivity. You've got a diagram in there. Kind of looks like this. Can you find that one? I think it's right at the start. Yeah? So, one of the first big areas I think you need to master is your mindset. Your mindset. So you might just want to write that in there. You can just write it in the model. So the mindset, your mindset is all about going from working against your brain to with your brain. So what I mean by it is understanding how your brain works. 90% of the people I work with, or even more, work against how their brain is actually wired. And if you can understand how your brain's wired, which we're going to talk about today, you're going to be functioning a lot more efficiently, effectively, and also understanding some high-performing principles around mindset. So mindset's a key area. Another one is alignment. Oops, G. That's supposed to say alignment. It's a G-N. Alignment. Alignment. Now, alignment is all about going from confused to clear, right? So this is like goal setting, thematic ideas in your business, calendar planning, quarterly snapshots of your business and the projects that you're working on. So this is all alignment. Another key part is implementation. So implementation is really going from slow to fast. So this is all around using hacks, using technology effectively, using systems like an Entreport or CRM systems. Implementation is all about, it's really getting stuff done, right? And fast and efficient. Another key area is energy. Because who here has ever come into your workday and maybe you had a big, like you had like a bit of time during the day. You didn't have too much locked in terms of meetings and so forth. But at the end of the day, you think, and you came and you were feeling a bit blah, and you finished the day and you think, I don't know if I really even got anything done. Like, I've just been kind of chasing my tail all day. Or have you thought about a day where you've come and you didn't have much time, but you're supercharged and you're focused and you just nailed it? I mean, I talk to most mums. I think they're one of the most productive people on the planet, right? Because if they have 45 minutes, they get done what most people get done in 5 days in 45 minutes when their kids are asleep, right? Yeah, totally. Right, that's like, they just make it happen, right? But energy is so important. So this is about going from low to high energy, about having emotional and physical energy to do your day. And the bottom layer is environment. An environment is kind of your surroundings. It's your office space. And this is about moving from friction to flow. And most people I work with, I walk into their office and it's just not set up for them to work well in their office. So it's friction to flow, right? So whether that be their filing systems, whether that be how their desk is set up, whether they have a standing desk or a sitting desk, are you standing desks? So, you know, how your office is set up and it surrounds you. So that, imagine yourself like a Formula One driver. When they come in, I heard an interview with the number one Formula One driver. I can't remember his name at the moment. Who is it? Hamilton, maybe, yeah. And he came in and he said the pit stop, they have four tire changes in 0.8 of a second. Four tire changes in 0.8 of a second. Like, it's literally like that, and then they're off again. Like, crazy, right? But really what he's saying is his environment, his surrounding is set up. There is no friction. It's complete flow in terms of when he pit stops. So that's what I'd love your environment to be set up like. And I think there's three other key areas that I like to focus on. You might just want to kind of jot them down here. One area that I like to kind of separate is your inbox, right? And I call that inbox flow, is like managing that inbox space. Another one is your team. Managing your team and kind of how they interact, have conversations, etc. And then also another separate area is your home, so which I call home flow. So there's three kind of core areas: inbox, team, and home flow. And I think that if you get all of these working, this is kind of like personal platforms, and these are more kind of business and then home platforms, you're going to start to produce a lot better results. So these are, the full eight areas that I like to focus on. So today's conversation, we're going to pick out some key tactics and strategies to help you accelerate those areas. Does that make sense? Yeah? Cool. Okay. So I think there's six levels. How many? Six. I think there's six levels that all business owners, and even for, you know, if there's like professionals, people in office environments kind of function on. And these six levels, when you understand them, you'll understand where you're at, and you'll also understand some distinctions around how to kind of climb the levels. And so when I unpack these, I hope that you know, just start thinking about where am I functioning on. And then, you know, what does the next level look like for me? You've got a little worksheet in there, and what's it called at the top? The journey. And that's what it is, right? It's the journey. So the journey is based around these six levels. Now, right at the bottom, and you might want to jot these down as we go, is the level of avoiding. So this is where you're procrastinating work. And the impact that's going to occur is you're going to be underperforming. Underperform. So avoiding those tasks or those priorities that really are actually important to your business. And you're avoiding them, you're putting it off. You're doing things that maybe you get a little quick, easy win, which is okay occasionally. But you're actually, when you think about it, you're transferring those key tasks onto your next to-do list, or I'm going to call it a procrastination list, and you just keep transferring it onto the next procrastination list every week or month or whatever. And you've got this, does anyone have like one of those really long lists, like the massive lists? And you might function off those lists. I call those a procrastination list, right? So we don't want to use them. We're going to talk about what you should be using today. But a lot of the time, people function on avoiding. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff around why you might be doing that. It could be that you're in the wrong type of role in your business. It could be that, you know, you've lost emotional energy for it. There could be a whole lot of reasons. But that's kind of like a really underperforming level, right? A zero results. The next level is what I call distracted. Distracted is where you're overwhelmed by work. And I know it'd be no one in this room, but does anyone know anyone who kind of runs around like a headless chicken in their business? Because there'd be no one in this room. Does anyone know anyone who's kind of overwhelmed by all the stuff they've got on? Yeah? And so you're distracted. Has anyone ever got distracted before? Yeah? No. Oh, what's that thing over there? And this produces confusion. So really, you're actually confused. And you may not articulate it like that, but that's actually what's going on. There isn't clarity in terms of your activity. The next level is what I call appropriate. Appropriate. And this is where you're starting to maintain work. So I guess you're kind of, your head's above the water, you're doing a little bit of planning occasionally, you got some priorities happening, but you know it's not regular. You don't have systems in place. You know, you're kind of a little bit all over the place, but you're just treading water. You're maintaining and surviving, and that produces, I'm just going to say, a little bit of structure. So you've got a little bit of a plan happening. Now, the next level is what I call deliberate. Everyone say deliberate. Deliberate. Now, deliberate is where things start to shift. And this is where you're actually doing prioritized work. This is where you're starting to say no to things because you know what things you're supposed to be doing. And so you're doing your prioritized work, and this will start to create momentum in your business. Momentum. And so you're saying no to the right things. You're saying yes to the right things. You've got clear blocks in place where you're working on high impact, high dollar value activity. You're working in your genius space, the stuff that you're actually good at and your strengths. And so you're being deliberate with what you're doing. The next level is strategic. Strategic. And strategic is doing leveraged work. So leveraged work would be around, like, you know, whether you're doing strategic planning, whether you're doing strategic systems, you're building systems in your business, you're starting to leverage yourself out of your business. It might be around mentoring your staff, it might be around developing your people, all that sort of stuff, and you're doing more strategic work, it's leveraging you out of your business, and this will start to give you clarity, big time. You'll know where you're going, and you'll actually have momentum in it. And the highest level is what I call inspired. And inspired work is game-changing work. So game changing. Everyone say game changing. Game changing. It's game changing work. And game changing work, the impact is, it's very difficult to quantify, because I'm just going to write quantum, the impact, because it's very difficult to quantify quantum impact. I'll give you an example. Like, it could be, there's a guy, Tim Ferriss, and he wrote a book called The 4-Hour Workweek. Some of you might have read it. But he came up with this idea of, for him to be a best-selling or a New York Times number one best-selling author, he knew that the title was 80% of the decision that someone made when they picked up a book and looked at it. And so he wanted to find, what was that title that was just going to pop? And so he took out Google AdWords. He sat down and he thought, this is this one idea, right? He took out Google AdWords, had a whole lot of titles for books, and then use the one that was most clicked on. And that was, which one? The 4-Hour Workweek, right? So that's just one idea. It might be about you creating, an inspired idea might be, you might be in a space here and you create a business partnership with someone where they've got your market, you're maybe not competing in terms of what you're doing, but you share markets, and then all of a sudden you start working together and you start feeding each other leads, and all of a sudden the rules of the game start to change. Does that make sense? So instead of you just trying to market and do your stuff, you're creating partnerships between businesses and so forth, and the game changes for you. It's like you're playing on the soccer field and all of a sudden the rules have changed and you start functioning on a higher level. So this essentially is the journey, I think, that we all go on. Now, for most of us, we'll spend time on particular levels most of the time. So I'm just going to draw a line through here. And the goal of whenever I work with someone is to help them get above this line more of the time. So it's not about, I'm not saying you have to live above the line, but it's about getting above the line more of the time. Does that make sense? Yeah? So you'll fluctuate even in your day between avoiding and doing maybe even strategic work. You could do that for the morning and that for the afternoon. But I'm wondering, where are you spending majority of your time? Chat with the person next to you and say, what do you reckon? Chat with the person next to you and say, what do you reckon? Have a chat. Where do you spend most of your time in terms of these six levels? Go for it. Have a chat. Have a chat.
Okay. I know you keep talking, but welcome back. I'm wondering, what are some of the distinctions that you've made so far around that model, that six levels, and where you kind of might function on? What's your thoughts? Really spiky, you kind of go up and down. Yeah. Who finds that?
Yeah.
I'd say it's a bit spiky. What else? What else did you notice about the six levels?
Just
move
around on that day.
Yeah.
And you think
you're
going in your
office,
and something happens, and then all the six.
So it depends who's around you.
Yeah,
so your environment affects you. Well, one day working in the office by yourself and get heaps done.
Yeah.
Interesting. We're going to talk about what that is. Yeah, cool.
I do my work, as what I'm just saying, I do my best work like between 10 and 2 in the morning.
In the morning, right. Yeah, cool.
Where the phone's not
going to be able to sleep.
Knocking.
I can appreciate that. Yeah.
I know I get distracted by staff and by customers that come in, and they think they're a priority. And they want your attention first, but you've got other people that were in before them that should have been attended to before. Mm. You start another one. Yeah.
customers.
Yeah, customers.
Shouldn't be a priority.
I was waiting to check out this morning at the hotel, and I was standing there. There was a guy who literally came up and he stood next to me, and this person kind of like went, and he came up like 2 minutes after me. And there was a guy in front of me as well. And this guy just literally walked up straight in front. And the guy goes to him, it's all right, mate, I was just waiting for a haircut, right? So just reminds me of just, yeah. I don't even know why I told that. But for some reason, that makes sense to what I just said, yeah. Because they're the priority. They're the priority. That's the reason why I thought that.
But then you walked up with, like intent.
Yeah, intent. He was focused, absolutely. Yeah. He was a productive machine. Love it.
Or those who speak the loudest or create the most noise.
The most noise, yeah, absolutely. And so strategic work will never create noise.
No.
Inspired work will rarely ever create noise. Like the only noise you get is maybe some, conversations with Steve, and Steve saying, hey, why don't you come along to the business, Breakthrough Through Business weekend, and that's kind of the noise. It's almost like almost a whisper sometimes. And so if you miss the whisper because you're hearing all the noise from all the everything else happening around your business, you miss the opportunity that could potentially change your business forever.
Maybe
so,
he's our subconscious.
Maybe he's our subconscious. He's a good guy.
We
haven't spoken in a while.
So good. Little Steve? Little Steve.
I can see that.
Nice. So they're the six levels, right? So let's talk about your brain. Everyone say the brain. Let's talk about the brain. So there are three things. Now, you might want to just turn to the section where there's just like no notes or just note pages, and you can just jot down some of these ideas. In fact, I think knowing these ideas that I'm about to go through fundamentally can change how you work and how effective you are in terms of what you do with your work. So There's three things that we know about the brain, and if you understand these, if you don't understand these three things, you'll probably be breaking one of them, if not three of them. And these are the three, for me, from my research around neuroscience, is that these are the three most important things to discover about the brain. First of all, your brain was designed to be distracted. It was designed to be what? It was designed for distraction. Does that explain anything for anyone? Yeah? So one of the activities I do, I was running a workshop one time, and I asked everyone to get out their phones. And I said, can you get out your phones and open up the timer? And within 30 seconds, one lady just literally said to me, oh, I've just opened up my emails. And so I told her one specific task, and she already got distracted by something else on her phone. Does that make sense? So your brain is designed to be distracted. Does anyone have shiny thing syndrome? You only chase after all the shiny things, or you maybe create a goal, and all of a sudden you chase after the next shiny thing because you get excited about that, and then you forget about where you're actually going or you should be going. And so you have shiny thing syndrome. And so because your brain was designed to be distracted, and technology is such a huge distraction. And to be quite frank, I personally, I'm a massive Apple advocate, but personally I don't like the Apple Watch, and I've chosen not to get the Apple Watch because I actually don't want to be buzzed on my wrist of when something is coming up or someone's calling or someone's messaging, or I've got enough distractions in my life already with my phone. As much as it's a beautiful watch and elegantly designed and I love it, I actually don't love it from a neuroscience perspective. So it's designed to be distracted. And the reason why it's designed to be distracted is because it's designed to keep you alive. What's it designed to keep you? Alive. So what I mean by that is it's designed to keep you alive from getting eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. It's designed to notice the rustle in the bush. Because if you think about in Neolithic periods and times, in the early kind of structures of our brain, it was designed around community, designed around safety. And the whole fight or flight thing is designed around reacting to danger. So it's designed to notice stuff in your environment so that it keeps you safe, not keeps you productive. So your brain wasn't designed to be effective in a 9-to-5 office environment. Who would have thought? Your brain was designed to keep you alive. Now, the problem is the saber-toothed tiger now is the email pop-up. It's the phone ringing. It's those customers coming in. It's the, you know, it's all the distractions that are happening in your world that are distracting you from what you're actually doing. So your brain's designed to be distracted. That's the first thing you need to understand. The second thing you need to understand is that your brain only has limited what? Juice. Limited juice. Now, what I mean by that is there's a part of your brain called the prefrontal cortex. What's it called? Brave guitar. And the brain up there is the part of your brain, the prefrontal cortex is the part of your brain that does the cognitive thinking. It does the heavy lifting in terms of conscious decision. And that part of your brain sits, it's like a little walnut that sits at the front of your brain. And from the research, it shows that its juice can be wasted, or its energy capacity can be wasted within 20 minutes to an hour. So most people use that 20 minutes to an hour sifting through emails, getting distracted by random things. And the problem is that from the research, when they kind of wire the brain and they do different activities, the activity that takes the most brain juice in a sense is one of the highest drains on it is planning and prioritizing. It's critical thinking. And so that's why, who's ever had 3 o'clock-itis? You know, like, you know, when that vending machine looks really good, or you see the Magnum ads at like 7 p.m. at night, you've just had dinner and you're just like, you know what? We don't have any Magnums at home, but I'm willing to get in the car and go down to the shop and buy one. Who's ever, yeah, like, who knows anyone who's done that? I know no one in this room, but you don't know anyone, right? Yeah, totally. Because your brain is exhausted. So you're relying on your amygdala, you're relying on your kind of like just default emotions to make decisions for you. And that can be a real problem in business. And so to make good decisions, you need to manage this juice well. Think of this part of your brain, the prefrontal cortex, like a lawnmower engine with nitro fuel, as opposed to a big V8 diesel, right? The unconscious part of your brain, the subconscious, is the big V8 diesel. It keeps your heart pumping. The conscious part of your brain, the critical thinking part of your brain, is the lawnmower engine with nitro fuel. And nitro fuel just burns quick. It's revving hard, but it's gone quickly. And so if you don't have a brain break or a lunch break or even just like 10 minutes off every hour or every 2 hours or so, you're actually going to be functioning on really poor critical thinking. And so that's why you start, has anyone ever had fuzzy thinking in the day? You know, you just feel really fuzzy. It's actually because the part of your brain that does all the critical thinking is completely exhausted. And you can do that within 20 minutes. And so if you're not conscious of this and using this juice wisely, you're wasting your most important thinking power. Does that make sense? So your brain has limited juice. The third thing around the brain is that your brain... Question.
How long does it take recover?
To recover, nice. So even like a 10... How long does it take to recover was the question. Even like a 10-minute break can really help it to recover. Absolutely. Glucose is a big one to recover. That's why sweets and sugars and things like that are really enticing when you're exhausted, because your brain is craving the glucose. So everyone's grabbing a Mentos right now. Absolutely, but that stuff will keep your brain just active. And having a break, changing channels, getting outside, going for a walk, doing something different will recharge. And you can literally do it. So I usually work to 50-minute intervals, or I'll do 30-minute, 50-minute, or 80-minute intervals. And in each of those intervals, after those, I'll usually have about a 10-minute break. Yeah. And if I do that, then I'm going to be sustainably working really well throughout the day. I try my best to do that. So the next one is that your brain can process one complex task at a time. How many? One. Now, all the ladies in here? All the ladies in here? Put up your hand, give me a shake around like you just don't care, right? Come on. All the multitaskers, that's me. The science says that women are better at multitasking than men. Right? They actually are. To the point of, I know my wife, we'll be going for a walk. She'll ask me a question that's like a deep question I need to think about, and I have to stop walking. Right? To answer, to think. I'm just like, you know, like a deer in headlights. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to think about the question that you've asked me. It's such a big question. At 7 a.m. So your brain is designed to process one complex task at a time. Even if you're a woman, you can't multitask in a complex task. So this is the distinction. Everyone can multitask with a simple task and a complex task. So right now, I'm actually multitasking because I'm doing this, yeah, and I'm talking to you. I'm multitasking. Because I'm moving my hands. Well, I was doing it then. That was task switching, yeah. But when I'm talking like this and having a conversation with you and moving my hands, I'm multitasking. Does that make sense? So that is the true essence of multitasking. But most of us are doing task switching all the time, and it doesn't let us get into a state of flow. And so one complex task at a time means... that if you're reading emails and talking to someone at the same time, you're actually task switching. The research shows that you're going to get about a 50% error rate. And that's why, do you notice my slides, you know, like I've got heaps of writing? Like not much, right? There's not much writing on my slides. It's just a big image and one concept. Because I want you to listen to me because I am the presentation. You guys stoked? So much love here. I am the presentation, right? This is not the presentation. And so this is a support for my presentation because you're either reading the slide or listening to me. You can process one complex task at a time. So if you're continually task switching, they said that the studies show that when people task switch for around a 2 hour mark, and then on from there, they say that your thinking capacity and your accuracy can go as low as someone smoking marijuana. Yeah, turn to the person next to you, look them in the eye, look them in the eye, say, get off the weed. Get off the weed. Get off the weed, right? Everyone's like, there's one person saying, no, I'm not getting off the weed. Right? We have another conversation. So, does that make sense? So, one complex task at a time. So I'm wondering, what rule are you breaking the most? Chat with the person next to you, 30 seconds. Which one do you tend to break the most, or all three do you break the most? Go for it. Chat with the person next to you. Questions, comments, clarifications about those three ideas? Questions, comments, or clarifications about those three ideas?
Yes. Question.
The limited juice, I find that I actually spend extended periods of time on that, so I actually don't get distracted. I want to keep the flow track.
Because you're in flow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I can appreciate that.
And then you end up running out of juice.
Yeah, totally. So it's and so right now you're consciously aware of that. So you're more than you even more were before potentially. And so you can still do that if you work for a good chunk of time, but it's being conscious that you actually need to recharge. And so think of it like a rechargeable battery. Do you remember rechargeable batteries? How good were they? Still got them. I don't remember. It says something else. I just don't use them anymore. Maybe they're still around, guys. They're still around. Very good. What else? Questions, comments, clarifications about those three ideas?
I guess it's important not to confuse distraction with the break.
Yeah, don't confuse distraction with the break. Nice. I like the distinction. Very good. Actually, we'll give both these two a bit of love, And there's one last comment here on Saturday.
I actually noticed how distracted or multitasking I was doing, or time task switching,
yeah.
Because I didn't actually realise that limited juice was one. You said about the three brain tips and that the concepts of them was designed for a distraction, limited juice, and one complex task at a time. Well, I totally missed limited juice.
Because you were distracted.
Yeah, I went one, two, skip a few.
very good. So, right, so principal emotion.
It wasn't until Rebecca said it went, what was the third one?
Yeah. So good. Good love. Very good. Okay, so let's take
those three concepts and let's kind of pull them together. Is that all right? And then we're going to have a break soon. Yeah? Everyone sit up in your chair. Let's bring your energy. Everyone say, bring it. Bring it. Love it. So let's talk about some key concepts even deeper. So... we've talked about the brain, right? Those three ideas of brain's designed to be distracted, it's got limited juice, one complex task at a time. So the first key principle is that I think you need to find your focus. What do you need to find? Your focus. So each day, you need to find time to create focus. Now, I've heard productivity experts and people in this space talk about, oh, you got to get focused. Who's ever heard someone say, you just got to get focused? And then it's like, how the flicking heck do you do that? I said flicking. I don't know what that was. How do you do that? Right? How do you actually get focused? And so do you just go concentrate harder? Like, how do you actually do it? So would it be okay if I share with you how you do it and how you create deep work in your business as opposed to shallow work? Work that will actually change the game for you. So, that says deep work. Deep. It's based around this principle of the performance curve. Now, the performance curve is an inverted U curve that suggests that in terms of stress and performance, when you have very low stress, your performance is going to be low. It's like, you know, you're relaxed by the beach, you know, drinking a tequila. It's super low, your performance is going to be low. And as you get a little bit more stressed, it gets better. But when you get too stressed, it drops down. And so the performance curve suggests that you've got to find this nice sweet spot in between where you're focused and a little bit aroused in a business context. Stress or it's just like stimulation, right? You've got to get enough stress that you're producing the best results where you're not too stressed or you're not too relaxed. It's like even with a presentation. Who's ever done a presentation before? And what we find with presentations, whenever I teach that with people, is that if they get too stressed, they forget what they're saying. Who's ever stood up in front of someone and just, you know, an audience and just forgot, what, just gone total blank? Like, you forget how to, like, spell the word the, yeah? And, you know, you forget the name of your wife or your husband. You're up there and you just go total blank. And so, but if you're too relaxed, you actually don't produce your best results in a presentation. So it's finding this sweet spot. So let's take these three concepts and put them into a diagram. Now, there isn't a diagram for this, so you're going to have to draw your first Venn diagram for today. So this is what you need. To function well and get focused, you need a clear task. What do you need? A clear task. So it's not make some phone calls. It's call John at this office. That's a clear task. It's not a vague idea. It's a clear task. You also need, as much as you can, a distraction-free environment. A distraction-free environment. So, and I know that sometimes that's not able to be created, but as much as you can, it's reducing distractions. Some of you might be able to go to a separate room for a while. It's not all day. I'm talking about doing deep work during your day at certain times. So it might be booking a room. It might be going to a cafe. That might be a distraction-free environment for you because you've just got the background noise and you can get focused. And the next one is a set time frame. A set time frame, which is what was mentioned up the back there before. You're saying that you're working for a certain amount of time. Now, what happens, watch this. This is a game changer. When you have a clear task, like literally like call John, create marketing plan, set up systems for this particular thing. You've got a clear task, a distraction-free environment, and a set time frame. So you literally have a timer that counts down, right? So I'll set a 50-minute timer or an 80-minute timer or something like that. When you have a clear task in a distraction-free environment, you actually get clarity. Clarity, you can think. When you have a distraction-free environment and a set time frame, it allows you to get into flow. And you immerse yourself in the task and you get enthralled by the task, you produce your best work. But it's not forever, because then you get exhausted and you start producing poor work. It's for a set time frame. And when you have a set time frame and a clear task, you get hustle. Hustle. Movement, activity. So we're just about to have a break. So what I'd like you to do is, before you go on your break, when you pull your phone out, it's the only time in a training that I'll get someone to pull out their phone. Pull your phone out. Everyone pull out your phone. And open it up and go to your timer. Go to your timer. And so that's like your clock. Go to your clock. Don't go to your stopwatch. You have to go to a timer because it goes down, not up. Yeah? Yeah, so it's not a stopwatch, it's a timer, because the timer goes down. So, now what I want you to do is set it to like 50 minutes. Set it to 50 minutes. Set it to 50 minutes now. Okay, now don't press start yet. Imagine you've got a really important task to do. It's like a key marketing plan that you know is going to take your business to the next level. Press start. And put that next to you. And imagine you're working on that marketing plan right now. What's just happened internally in you? It's like, man, I got to make this thing happen, right? And by the way, everyone press stop on it, because in 50 minutes they're going to be going off during the next session. So gives you this, right? Gives you this. But the distinctions are you've got to create a distraction-free environment and a clear task as well as the set time frame. Chat with the person next to you. What's been most valuable so far from our conversation this morning? Go for it. Chat with the person next to you. What's been most valuable? Go for it. No, I'll pass it to you. Okay. Welcome back. Three people, what's been most valuable? Quickly, show of hands. Three people. One, you've put up your hand a few times. I'm loving that. One, two, thank you, sir. And three, I feel like a real estate. Thank you, sir. Okay, we'll go one. One.
I know you were, but I just changed.
I like the limited juice. That was the
distinction that was most helpful.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
I didn't realise that I actually had a time in my brain.
Wow. You're not a computer. You're a human. Who would have thought?
I can say limited juice as well. I get to 10, 11 o'clock some days and I just go, I'm done.
You're done. Completely done. And so hopefully that time between 8 when you started to 11, you've done some high impact activity, you've worked in your genius space, we're going to talk about that soon. But if you haven't, if you're done, then it's kind of like your day's almost done if you don't rest. Yeah, totally. Nice distinction, very good. Bit of love for those two. And last one. What's your name?
Rebecca. That one. Because I've got the few tasks and I've got the distraction-free environment, but not set time frame. I think that will work. If I just put my phone on at a certain time, I'll get a lot more done.
It will work. Great. I can guarantee you it will work if you work it. So, a bit of love for Rebecca.
Hey, I just wanted to, we're about to cross over to Steve. I just wanted to say to Steve, I've known him for 2 years or so, and I actually wanted to just say how much of an awesome guy he is from the sense of, he's one of those guys got a big heart, but he's also, I feel like he's got a heart of a dad, but a brain of a stockbroker. It's like, he thinks critically, he thinks about how do you push your business to the next level, but he's got a heart of gold and a heart of integrity. And to be frank, I've been in this business, in the expert business for a while now, and I've seen a lot of people, and there's few and far between people like him. So I think, if you were to do any work with him, you've got a good guy. So I actually really wanted to say that. So thanks, Steve.
Awesome. Thank you, mate.